Dreamt that I couldn't find my notes, right? And I'd forgotten what I was preaching on, and I couldn't find my notes, and I was trying to get an app up on my phone so I could print them off on this printer. And Pamela was down on the beach, and she was having selfies, and she's saying, "Everyone come down here." And I'm like, "Everyone come to church." It was the weirdest thing. So a bit of a laugh there. Oh, dear. All right, I just need some water. Thanks. A bit dry. Well, Christmas may have... Thanks, I'll just have a quick sip. Christmas for another year may have passed by, but the message of Christmas, it will never pass away. Never. And today, my message is sort of a Christmas message, but with a difference. You may not realise it, or you might not have even thought about it, but in the Bible, there are more scriptures that talk about the second coming of Jesus than about the first coming of Jesus, which of course was Christmas over 2,000 years ago. So there's far more verses, far more prophecies and explanations about what's going to happen in the second coming than of Jesus coming and the first time at Christmas. So the first coming, of course, as we know, was predicted by the prophets centuries before he even came. We know the prophet Isaiah and Micah, just two of them. There were others that had prophetic words too, but they spoke about the coming of the Messiah. And people probably thought, oh yeah, well, that's never going to happen. But hey, it did, didn't it? And when God sent his son Jesus to earth, it split history into AD and BC. We've got a slide there. Even your birthday is dated by the biggest event in history, which was Christmas. So we know that BC means before Christ, and AD stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of the Lord. These numbers were used to estimate when Jesus' birth was, and BC counts backwards, and while AD count forward from that point. So we're finishing the year 2025 AD. And for some people, it's been a really tough year. And you may have had a lot of things to deal with, a lot of problems and pressures in your life. And we see things in the world happening that we would have never dreamed of that would be happening at the moment. But there's good news. There's always good news. And it has to do with the comparison between the first coming of Jesus and his second coming, when he will come back one day. Now, the Bible calls the second coming of Christ the blessed hope. Okay, and it's called that because when you really understand what he's going to do, it gives us comfort and strength. And then we can have a confidence in our life to not fear and to not be anxious for the future or have any kind of uncertainty, because history is moving toward that point. And I don't know about you, but Gordon, I feel you were really spot on this morning, because I believe time is getting near. And I know, I feel that every message I bring has to have a message of salvation somewhere in it, because we need to know where we're going and be confident in that. You see, the primary Blessed Hope Bible verse is in Titus, and it speaks of the awaited blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, referring to his return. While other passages, like Thessalonians, they describe the rapture. And this hope isn't a mere wish, but it's a certainty that Jesus' triumphant return to redeem and establish his kingdom, purifying believers in the process. I mean, the night before Jesus was crucified on the cross, he said this to his disciples in John 14, 1-3. He said, and I love this, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Isn't that great when it comes from Jesus himself? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Such a comforting scripture. And that was a promise. That was a promise that he made. And just as sure as the promise where Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be killed and that he would rise again and come back to life, he did. See, God promised that he would send the Messiah who would be the saviour of the world by dying on the cross and raising himself back to life. And he did this so that we would know who he was, who he said he was. He was. If God said it would happen, it would happen. It did happen. And of course, he goes on in verse 6, which is a really important scripture. He says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. There is only one way, and the world will tell you that there are many ways to God, but there is one way, and it is only through Jesus. So I'm going to look at some differences between the first coming of Jesus, which was Christmas, and the second coming, which is yet to happen. There are some physical differences and some spiritual ones. So let's have a look. Firstly, at the first coming of Jesus, the arrival happened slowly because Jesus came into the world just like you and I did, by birth. And that took 9 months, as any pregnant woman would know. It can be a long 9 months, but that's how long it takes. It's not an overnight or an instant thing. And we can see that in Luke chapter 1. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? For with God, nothing will be impossible. So while it was a virgin birth, it still took 9 months. Now in comparison, next time when Jesus comes back, it will happen instantly. It is going to be fast. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. You know how long a twinkling of an eye is? Well, a blink of an eye takes about a tenth of a second. This is Google. A twinkling of an eye is the time it takes for the speed of light, which is very, very, very fast, to hit the back of the eye and reflect out. So rather than 0.1 seconds for a blink, it would be a billionth of a second, which emphasises an instantaneous action. It will happen very, very fast. In Thessalonians, we see this. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. So it's going to come fast and it's going to be unexpected. Next scripture. Jean's going to be working hard today because there's a lot of comparisons here. Luke 12. Jesus said this. He said, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready for the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. So it's going to be fast, unexpected, which is the exact opposite of Christmas, because he took 12 months to come. Secondly, Jesus' arrival the first time at Christmas was very quiet. In fact, not many heard of it. Most people were oblivious to the fact that the Saviour of the world had just been born. We talk, you know, about the silent night. It was a quiet night in a little town of Bethlehem, in a village of about 300 residents. Although there were a lot more people there at that time because the census was on in town, it was a very quiet entrance into the world. The shepherds were told by the angels in Luke 2, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who will be Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. There's a sign. To you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. There was no GPS in those days, so the angel had to give the shepherds some clues on where to find this baby in this small town. And it wasn't too hard, after all. How many babies would you find lying in a manger? Only one. So what I want to point out here is that Jesus had to be found. They said, you will find him. It wasn't some big grand entrance where God comes in with a fanfare and announces that I'm here. No, people had to find him. He had to be found. And it not only took a long time for him to come, but it was very quiet. But the next time when Jesus comes back, it will be the exact opposite. The entire world will hear it. It's going to be the greatest celebration and it's going to be loud. Nobody will have any doubt when Jesus Christ comes back. Everyone is going to hear it. 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the grave. Now, I can't even really comprehend how that's all going to be. I really can't. But I know it's going to happen because it's in the Word of God, and what God says will happen, and it will be loud. It won't be like the silent night of Christmas, and everybody will hear it. The other difference is this. The Bible says that there was a single star from the sky that was seen. That's the story of the wise men, of course. These three astronomers from the east were studying the skies, and they came to Jerusalem and they said, "We've seen the star." In Matthew 2, it confirms it, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, scientists have speculated for many years what that star was like, but what we do know is that it was a single star that caught the eye of these scholars that they could follow. These scientists from Persia who followed it and came over to Jerusalem, as the scripture says, they came to worship him. So there was just one star in the sky. But the next time Jesus comes, he will light up the whole sky all around the world. It's not going to be invisible. Everybody will see it because it will light up the entire atmosphere around the entire earth. In fact, Jesus said, two will be working in the field, two will be in bed sleeping. That just shows us that on one side of the world, people will be out working, and the other side of the world, people will be in bed sleeping. But everyone, everywhere, is going to see this. How the heck could that be possible? Well, the God who built the universe is bigger than the universe, and he will be seen everywhere. Luke 17. For as the lightning flashes and lights light up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. So just like lightning on a dark night, it just appears everywhere, penetrating the darkness. And that is what is going to happen. Everyone will see the light of his return. Not only that, he's going to bring the angels with him. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Note that they're all coming with him. Revelation 19:14. The armies of heaven were following him. There's going to be a lot of people up there. 2 Thessalonians. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Wow, again, it's hard to comprehend what that is going to look like. But there's going to be a brilliant light in the sky and it will get everyone's attention. Now, here's another difference. The first time, only a few people honoured Jesus when he was born. In fact, most of his own rejected him. People did not accept him or believe that he was who he said he was. And the Bible tells us in John 1, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. When Jesus came on the first Christmas, not everybody bowed to worship him. The shepherds and the wise men did. But King Herod, when he heard about him, he wanted to kill him. So it was just a few people that came to worship him. And later on, his own people even put him on the cross. Now, that was God's plan. We know it was God's plan for him to die for our sin. But he was rejected by his own people and very few honoured him. Even at the end of his ministry, there was only about 120 people who were followers in the upper room. It was only after his resurrection that the faith began to explode and grow. But the next time he comes, everyone will honour him. Even people that have denied him their entire lives, atheists, everybody is going to honour him. It says in Romans 14:11, it is written, As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. That means that when Jesus comes back, every celebrity is going to kneel and say, Jesus is Lord. Every politician in the world is going to kneel and say, Jesus is Lord. Everyone is going to say, wow, he is who he says he is. Every artist, every businessman, every athlete is going to kneel and say that Jesus is Lord. And every person that has denied that God even exists is going to say, Jesus is Lord. So let's summarise. The first time Jesus comes, there was no room for him in the inn, but now everybody is going to make room for him when he comes back the second time. And the second coming of Christ, hear this, is going to happen in an instant, but there is no time to change sides. In other words, you've already made your decision before this happens. It won't be like, oh, wow, now I know it's God, I'll believe him and I'll accept him. Well, no, you won't, because it will be too late. You've already made your decision. So when he comes back, he's either going to be your saviour or he's going to be your judge, depending on the decision you've made before he comes back. And when he comes back, it's going to be loud and everyone is going to hear it. It's going to be brilliant. No one is going to not see it, this bright light, this fire. And it's going to be undeniable. Undeniable. Everyone is going to see him and everyone is going to honour him and kneel before him and say, Jesus is Lord. Now, they're the physical differences. And there's a couple of spiritual differences. Between Christmas and the first coming of Christ and the second coming of the Blessed Hope, okay? So the next point is that he came to save the world. That was the purpose of him coming at Christmas. He came to die for our sins and to be our saviour. Now, everyone knows John 3:16, but let's have a look at it again in verse 17, because it summarises that. For God so loved the world, I mean, he did that because of love. He did that because he loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's regardless of your background. It doesn't matter what the heck you've done, where you've been. He came for you. And then in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. The angels announced at the very first Christmas, behold, I have good news of great joy for all people, for unto you is born a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And we all need a Saviour. If you could get into heaven without a Saviour, then it was a waste of time sending Jesus to die for you. That's the only way that you get into heaven, is by accepting the Saviour that God sent. People say, I don't need a Saviour. Thank you very much. I don't need God's forgiveness. I don't need his grace. I don't need anything. I'm fine. Thank you very much. I will just be my own God. And God says, okay, have it your way. It's your choice. Because for those people who reject salvation, which is freely given, the bad news is the first time he came to save, but the next time he will come to judge. And he's been given, I mean, everyone's been given a chance, and he is so everlastingly patient with us. Oh, my goodness. And we have an opportunity to trust him or to deny him, to accept him or to reject him. It's up to us. And he gives us that choice to make. Acts 17:31. He has decided, this is God, on a day when he will judge all the people in the world in a way that is fair. You see, God is a God of justice, and everything that is wrong in the world, he is going to make right. And to do this, he will use a man he chose long ago and has proved to everyone that this is the man to do it. He proved it by raising him from death. And of course, Jesus is that judge. He's going to judge the world because he's the one who died for your sin. So he has a right to judge you if you reject his grace. And when you die, if you've accepted him as your saviour, then when you die, all your sins are paid for. But if you've rejected that payment he made for you, then the Bible tells us that he's going to come back to judge. And it says he's going to judge you with justice because he is a just God, but he's a loving God. And when he sees evil, he doesn't like it, and he's going to make that right. He will bring justice for all the rapes and the murders and the killings and the pain that has been caused by an evil world, because he is a just God. And you know yourself, when you read the news and look on the telly and you see something that's not right, you know it's not fair, because you have that sense of justice, because you were made in his image. We're nearly there. And we know that everything's not fair in this world. Don't even bother saying, well, that's not fair. We know it's not. And lots of times we see people get away with things that are evil, and evil triumphs, but that's not the end of the story. God will settle the story, and he'll even the odds. He will administer justice, and evil will be punished when he comes again. That's why we don't have to seek vengeance. We don't have to punish people. We don't have to get even with people. That's his job. Our job is just to forgive. And again, forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. If you've been wronged, that God will fix that. You just come before him and say, God, give me the grace to forgive that person. And I'm going to hand them over to you. That's all we have to do. And so at that second coming, God is going to right all the wrongs of history. All the evil in the world will be wiped out. Racism, abuse, betrayal, everything. Romans 2, 6 to 8. It confirms just what I said, that God will repay each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honour and immorality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. We get to choose. Is Jesus going to be my saviour, or is he going to be my judge? Are we going to accept his grace, or are we going to reject it? We've all done stuff that we shouldn't have. We've all done wrong. No one's exempt. But we're either going to be rewarded or punished. But the good news is, because it seems somber, but we need to understand time is short. The good news is we can settle it right now. And the last point is that he came to die for our sins so that we don't have to. But we have to accept it. That's why he came the first time. He didn't come to have a nice life and smell the flowers and peace and love. No, he came to save the world. Ephesians 1:5. God had already planned to have us as his own children. That was his plan. And this was done by Jesus Christ. In his plan, God wanted this done. You see, he had a plan before you were even created. Why did he create the universe? Because he wanted us to all be in his family. But not everyone has accepted that. Everyone is created by God. They are loved by God. And there is nobody that doesn't love God, that God has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life. But not everybody is in the family. You have to be adopted. And how do you do that? You choose him. You choose him to be your Saviour, your Heavenly Father, because God sent him for you. And he's not coming to die again. His work on the cross was a finished work. And when he comes back, he will gather his family, the church, the body of Christ, from right around the world, and he will take us all to heaven. So if you're here today and you're thinking, oh, maybe I haven't lived right. Maybe I did believe, but I've gone off track, because the devil wants to make sure we get off track. He wants to put baits in our road, that Satan's bait of unforgiveness or bitterness or offense, and they take us away. And if you've been, and God is such a forgiving God, all we have to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've walked away. And today you can come back to him. You can come back to him at any time because his mercies are new every day. And so if ever you feel like you're away from God, get back because time is short. Time is short and we need to be encouraging our families, sowing seeds. And I know they don't always want to hear it from our family, but we need to be praying that someone would be around them sowing seeds into their lives. And so I just pray as we finish now. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, you have prompted me many times that time is short and that we need to get our lives right before you. And so, Father, I pray that everyone hearing my voice, whether here today, on Zoom or recordings later, that, Father, everyone would get their life right before you, understanding that you're a loving, patient, faithful God and that you will come back one day, and we don't know when that is, but we need to be ready. And I thank you now that you love us so much that you patiently wait for us. In Jesus' name, amen.